Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Woohoo, what's happening, folks? It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. And just give me one second. They accidentally hung up on my guest. They got an X here on the board. I just X'd it. I hit the wrong button. I hope she calls back. It's pretty crazy. I've just been on a bad streak these days. And so, bam, we'll be back. Hopefully she calls. Hope I didn't blow it.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network. I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get.
That's right, folks. That's Dave Bray. That's DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission. Storytell Edition. Sit out now for a while. Some new songs are on the website. Go check them out today. And, of course, my good friend Rob at LibertyRush.com. Social media without the libtarded rhetoric. It's been really crazy in the news. The Biden administration is off the wall, off its wheels, out of control, out of hand. Destroying everything that's great about our country. It's really just a horror show what I'm witnessing. And I know most people are beside themselves, as am I, just trying to figure out what to do next. Where do we turn? I guess they're trying to push forward today with a like fake infrastructure bill, you know, where human, part of it is human infrastructure. You know, humans are part of the infrastructure. Free everything. You know? And they're supposed to be voting tonight sometime, apparently, on a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill because a couple of Democrats, Manchin and Sinema, did not want to go along with it. There's nothing, as of 6 p.m., there's been nothing scheduled on the calendar in order to vote on this $1.2 trillion spending scam. You just got to beware, be alert, and be ready, as anything can happen at any time with these crazy Democrats pushing their socialist agenda the new Green Deal malarkey. And of course, the tragedies that are unfolding in Afghanistan, the things that they're not reporting. If you want to hear what they, what's going on over there, you can listen. Sean Hannity lays it out pretty good during the afternoon drive home, what's happening over there and what will be happening. The systematic weeding out of Americans, American sympathizers, green card holders, and others that are left behind. No man shall be left behind. And apparently in this administration, and of course in the Obama administration, leaving men behind is okay. It's not okay to me. It's not okay to huge majorities of Americans. And we need to make a stand on that one. Because, I mean, they are pushing it. Vaccine mandates, really? Now you see people across New York City, they're like going to restaurants and chanting, "We won't leave, we won't leave." And they have sit-ins in restaurants across New York City, which is, it's inspiring. See, I know there's patriotism in New York City. I lived there in New York for 35 years. And when 9/11 happened, I witnessed some of the greatest patriotism ever to be witnessed by a human. To see it fastly dissipate, and New Yorkers turn back to them, their normal selves, flipping a bird, cursing, screaming, and yelling at you. "Who the hell are you? Don't talk to me. Get away from me. Don't touch me." Bada bing, bada boom. One of the reasons I bailed out of that place. Liberalism has destroyed New York, and it's a horrific, horrendous thing. The greatness that was the greatest city, the city that never sleeps, destroyed by liberalism. And this has been an ongoing situation. This all, what's happening right now, didn't just, you know, unfold since the election in 2016, the last 4 or 5 years. This has been going on since, I believe, the slow systemic collapse of our republic started with 9/11. That's when it started. There was a little thing they signed known as the Patriot Act. This act was, I don't know, 3,000 plus pages or something. Fat as an Encyclopedia Britannica. I remember the Encyclopedia Britannica back in the day. At least that's that, maybe fatter. Maybe like 10 of those Encyclopedia Britannicas, thick. It was the most Constitution-violating piece of legislation that was ever signed, and it's renewed all the time, and they keep going on with the Patriot Act. And of course, the National Defense Authorization Act also. Two unconstitutional things that they use to usurp the Constitution in the name of safety and security. And those who give up safety and security for a feeling to have that feeling deserve no liberty, deserve to be in a box. Me, I like dangerous liberty over peaceful security any day of the week. I want to be able to move freely and do what I got to do without any repercussions and be ready to defend myself when I have to. It's my American right and my pursuit of happiness to do so. But like I said, this has been an ongoing thing for many, many years. And my guest this evening authored a book, At the Breaking Point of History, How a Decade of U.S. Duplicity Enabled This Pandemic. Her name is Janet Phelan. She's on hold right now. She's in the queue. And, it's a fantastic book, and we're going to tell you all about it here in the coming moments. I'm just going to pull it up here. I have it on the, I have some of the text, and I'll be kind of glancing along as we go through the show. We'll tell you how to get the book, where to get the book, and we're going to break it down. We're going to break it down.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, and we got our guest on the line. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm so pleased to be on the show today.
And you're coming in loud and clear.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad to know that because, yeah.
And where are you calling in from?
I'm actually south of the border, way south of the border.
Way south of the border.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty soon maybe Americans will be escaping to Guatemala, Honduras, Ecuador, and other countries where all these people are fleeing because there must be like housing and things to do there now. Everybody left.
Well, you know, what is interesting is that people, Americans and also people from other countries seem to be flooding in to Chiapas, Mexico, which is where I am. Chiapas, Mexico doesn't really have any COVID restrictions. And people are fleeing their countries because of the massive oppression they're experiencing, and they're coming here.
See? And it's pretty amazing what we're seeing over the last 18, you know, coming up on 20 months now since this whole thing broke down. And I know I was talking in my little monologue how this has all been slowly festering over time, and it didn't just happen overnight. I believe Dr. Fauci has been trying to use gain-of-function research to cause a global pandemic since the early 80s and the AIDS epidemic kicked off, but that's just my opinion.
What I've been looking at specifically, and I was really resonating with what you were saying about the Patriot Act, because there's an undiscussed section in the Patriot Act which appears to be the launching point for a future pandemic. And this would be Section 817, which is the expansion of the biological weapons statute. And in this section, the U.S. government gives itself immunity from violating its own biological weapons laws. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do that? And you can see that mainstream media, nobody's talking about this. So this Section 817, scroll down, it says, the prohibitions contained in this section shall not apply to any duly authorized United States governmental activity. That's it. And why would that be?
And then as I was glancing through the book, in the very beginning, because I remember, this is one of the reasons why I said I believe it started way back 9/11 with George Bush, George W. He was part of that. It was with the anthrax scare that came out shortly after all this stuff.
Right.
And the Biological Weapons Convention's birthday and all that type of stuff happening. I believe that a lot of the Patriot Act was written and ready to rock and roll before 9/11. They knew something was coming and they were ready to do this. It was very odd. And a lot, like you said, the groundwork was laid for this pandemic. So you started researching for your book. It starts out a little bit, obviously, before the pandemic, talking about the convention and other things. What inspired you to start writing the book in the first place?
Well, I've been covering biological weapons for activist posts for over 10 years. And during this period of investigative reporting on biological weapons, I had cause to twice visit Geneva, Switzerland, the United Nations at the Biological Weapons Convention. A friend of mine instructed me how to make myself into an NGO so I wouldn't be like, you know, gagged and had to sit in the peanut gallery with the rest of the press. So
right. As
an NGO, I was able to engage the convention and to present. And some very interesting things became very clear to me through those two trips. I went in 2011 and I went again in 2016. And it became very clear to me that the Biological Weapons Convention was being micromanaged by the United States in order to keep people sort of distracted and off topic. And for example, this Section 817, which is actually a very big deal, according to politically binding mandates, the United States and every other country is supposed to report any changes in domestic legislation having to do with biological weapons. They're supposed to report it to the convention at large. Did the U.S. report this huge change in 817? No, they did not. So it went a little further than that, because not only did they not report that change, which could be seen as putting the U.S. in violation of the PWSA by, you know, allowing their own government to break domestic laws about biological weapons. Not only that, but I had cause to be sitting in a side event in 2011 during the lunch hour that was hosted by the Team USA, and a fellow named Dr. Daniel Gerstein, who was with the Department of Homeland Security, made a presentation. He wanted to show the people, the delegates in the room, what wonderful biological weapons laws the U.S. had. Well, they put up the old law, not the one that was amended by 817. So it wasn't an oversight that the U.S. did not report this. They were actively misleading the convention. So there are a lot of tidbits like this in the book. One goes into source documents. One looks at the reports that the U.S. made not only to the Biological Weapons Convention, but to the 1540 Committee, which is mandated to have some sort of management over weapons of mass destruction, including biological weapons, chemical right. weapons, nuclear weapons, and you find the U.S. lying again. It just it becomes very, very clear. So this is one level of documentation and concern that the book deals with, but there's quite a bit more than that. So let me just take a break here and have a drink of water. And
there's other than biological weapons, there's also like electromagnetic and microwave weapons. As I've done shows in the past on microwave weapons, a mutual friend of ours, Karen, suspects that they've been shooting her with microwaves for a long time, based on
right.
her whistleblower status.
Right.
How prevalent are these weapons as compared to like biological weapons?
Well, this is a whole other class of weaponry. I think Karen's a real expert on this. My book does deal with some of the use of these weapons as a means to torture people. It is not the primary focus of the book, though, but there are some wonderful whistleblowers and researchers out there on electronic weapons, and Karen is certainly one of them.
Absolutely. And you cover a fairly wide range of things, because like you noted, it's, you know, 10 years, a decade of duplicity. Other than the Patriot Act as a turning point, what was another thing, you know, since the Patriot Act was signed between that time and now that we can point to kind of prove that these biological weapons are being created in America against the Biological Weapons Convention, you know, signed by all these top nations 40 years ago?
Right. Well, first of all, I just want to make a brief correction. The title of the book says decades, plural, and it certainly does go back to 2001,
right.
and some of the concerns go back even before that. Now, there have been a lot of stories in the mainstream press over the years that have indicated that something rather nefarious is going on with the U.S. and biological weapons. For example, several years ago, the U.S. was caught red-handed sending live anthrax through the mail to over 100 labs worldwide. That's also, by the way, a violation of the convention.
Right.
So the question is, why were they sending live anthrax? Now, there was a, because this hit the mainstream press and there was a lot going on and people were concerned, they had to do something. So they established some sort of a committee to look into the problem, and they decided that the deactivating equipment at Dugway Proving Ground, which is one of the big BW research facilities, the deactivating equipment wasn't working. Now, that's an interesting sort of conclusion, because the fact is, 8 years before that, there was another flurry of concern about live anthrax going through the mail from Dugway Proving Ground, and they said at that point, oh, the deactivating equipment doesn't work. So why aren't they fixing it? You begin to see there's a whitewash. You begin to see there's a whitewash going on. So that was one of the stories that that alarmed me and that I gave some attention to. There were a number of other blips through the years showing that the U.S. was sort of merrily violating the mandates under the Biological Weapons Convention, and nobody was doing a thing about it. So,
well, who really? United States, the most powerful country in the world. What would anybody do? Like, you got busted. Okay, so what are you going to do to me? I'm caught red-handed.
Well,
what are you going to do?
That's a good question. And this brings up something else about the Biological Weapons Convention, because the fact is, it's, I believe, the only arms convention that has no mechanism for reporting violations or verifying that the countries involved are actually obeying the convention mandates. It has no very, it's a paper tiger. Now, how did that come to be? Because the other conventions, chemical weapons, and so forth, they all have verification protocols. So as it turns out, we can, again, look at the U.S.'s behavior at the convention in 2001, because there had been an effort through an ad hoc committee to create a verification protocol, because really, I mean, it's a silly little treaty that you know, it's just a bunch of words on paper without verification. So at long last, in May of 2001, the verification protocol was presented to the delegates for approval, and the U.S. team walked out. They boycotted it. This happened under John Bolton. He was at that point the ambassador. So 6 months later, as we know, we had
Bolton had a great mustache.
That's got to be his claim to fame, right? So 6 months later, we had the attacks of September 11th, and then, of course, the anthrax attacks. And should there have been a verification protocol, there might have been some ability to figure out where this anthrax came from.
Right.
But without the verification protocol, it was left in the hands of the FBI, which made some very peculiar decisions. They decided not to look at Dugway Proving Ground, which had the exact strain that was of concern. It was called the Ames strain. They decided not to look at the Battelle lab, which also had the Ames strain, and to focus their attention on this researcher at Fort Detrick, who conveniently committed suicide before he could be charged or brought to trial. Now, there are some interesting things about the suicide of Bruce Ivins, which I do want to bring up. According to initial press reports, he had taken an overdose of Tylenol, and he was rushed to the hospital, and he began to improve. And the decision was made, and I still cannot find out who made the decision to pull him off life support.
Who takes Tylenol to off themselves? That seems odd.
Well, that's
in
that's a very good question. Very good question.
Tylenol, like, I mean, I think ibuprofen might be more deadly. You know,
well, the ability of the American people to just, you know, to listen to whatever they're told and go, oh, okay, killed himself with Tylenol. You know, it's sad commentary on our ability to process information.
Well, you know, I hate to have anybody even find themselves in a position where they might want to kill themselves. So I just want to read this real fast. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are beside yourself and you're feeling down and out, and you need someone to talk to, you can call the Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-8255. And I vow to read this number every show from here on out, 1-800-273-8255. Call today if you need someone and you don't have anybody. If you're alone and depressed and down and out, give a call. All right, back to our regular
schedule.
All righty. Yes, ma'am. I think that's important because we have 22 military veterans a day committing suicide. If I can help one of those just by saying that number, at least that saves one life. And if we all did our small part to reach out to one of these folks that are suffering, we might save more than one. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to pass that number along. And where were we?
Yes, we were talking about Bruce Ivins' alleged suicide.
Yes.
It was very convenient. You know, the FBI closed the case. They said, okay, we got our man. He killed himself. End of story. And so it actually remains an unsolved case because subsequent information came out about Ivins that he did not have the proper equipment at Fort Detrick to process the anthrax into the state that it was put into those letters. So, you know, but the FBI got their man, and that's all they want to say about it.
Yeah. And was some of these like test runs that they were maybe trying to see if they could spread something? You think it was like they were trying to see how much they could get away with and if it would be effective if they attacked the country this way? Or what was the plan of sending anthrax through the mail? What do you think it
was? Well, you know, that's a very good question. I'm really glad you asked that question. It does seem to me that what happened as a result of the anthrax attacks, well, first of all, they stuck that bizarre Section 817 into the USA Patriot Act. But they also, began an effort to continue, well, to fund this biological weapons research. It ended up with so much money being funneled into this research as a result of the anthrax attacks. And in fact, we don't even know how much money was funneled in. For example, for the public side of the funding, the side that is reported and that you can find out about, this involves, I think, $6 to $7 billion a year. However, there is a private, not private, excuse me, there is a secret side to the funding because the U.S. government does not disclose the biological weapons funding that is being received by the CIA, by DHS, by FBI. All of this is secret information.
Right. And I notice more and more also that all these people exempt themselves from what they're imposing on the people. You know, vaccine mandates. Everybody's got to get vaccinated except for me. You know, like they are playing for lack of a better term, like a shell game. Like look over here, look over there. Which one's it under? Here we go, here we go, and they're just trying to pull the wool over America's eyes. Unfortunately for them, and fortunately for us, I believe Americans are too smart and they're waking up slowly.
No, I think Americans are waking up, and I also think there's growing sense of division and conflict between those who rushed to be vaccinated and those who are saying no way. And the vaccinated are insisting that the unvaccinated are making them sick, which doesn't even make any sense, because
right.
If you're vaccinated, the idea is you're vaccinated, so you know what, me worried, right? So,
right.
But it's becoming, you know, it's becoming one of the accusations that is being hurled against unvaccinated people, that they're
right.
Putting everybody at risk, right? Well, how can that be? Don't the vaccines work? Right.
Well, the book is really an interesting book, ladies and gentlemen, and real fast before we move on, it's the bottom of the hour, it's 8:32, it's the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and we are speaking with Janet Phelan. She wrote a book, How Decades of U.S. Duplicity Enabled the Pandemic, and we are discussing that book right now. It is an extremely interesting book. What is going on here? I'm messing around my soundboard here, and we're going to talk about more of this book right after this. Check this out.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
And now, before we delve back into it, if folks want to get a copy of the book, how can we get a copy of the book?
The book is available on the publisher's website, which is Trine Day. And it's also available on Amazon.
Okay, folks, so if you're searching in books on Amazon, you want to search. Again, I'll give you the title of the book, How Decades of U.S. Duplicity Enabled the Pandemic by Janet Phelan. Phelan is her last name, in case I'm pronouncing it wrong. Now you have the spelling. Search it, speak it, read the book, get the book. You will not be disappointed. And now, back to our regularly scheduled program. I love this radio stuff. It's a lot of fun for me. I enjoy it.
Yeah, great.
You know, we don't get paid to do this. We do this because we love to spread truth and shine a light in the darkness. And one way to do that is to bring people on who are digging deep and looking into the issue. And so that's what we do here at Patriot Nation Radio. We try to bring truth to the media lies and shine a light. And of course, stay true to constitutional values. We love America. We love freedom. And it's God, family, and country. And that's what we stand for at Patriot Nation Radio. Amen. Hallelujah. So now we got them spreading anthrax through the mail. They're doing all these kinds of things. Are they trying with, say, like the bird flu? Was that accidentally released? Did that accidentally make it people, or was that gain-of-function research too? Was that like an actual dry run? Or Ebola? Has all of this been attempts to do a pandemic that have failed, or were these real?
Yeah, that's also a good question. One thing for sure is that we were becoming acclimated to all these bizarre germs, scary germs, being reported, and, you know, Ebola, swine flu, Zika. I mean, so there was some, I believe, efforts to make the population sort of used to these things happening, so that when the big one hit, people would be, Oh, yeah, we've been expecting that, right. So I think that's what we're dealing with here.
Right. They've been conditioning us for a long time to be ready for the pandemic. Because, of course, every 100 years through history, there's some sort of pandemic. I guess they just tried to stay true to that and say, look, we haven't had anything since 1918. We got to get busy. You know, and here we are. You know what I like about the flu, the sickness back in 1918, was how they put everybody in masks, and then everybody died even faster. So we should have learned from that history that masks don't work. You know.
Right. Well, there's a lot of evidence that believe that many of the masks are made of simply are not of the appropriate size to deter a viral agent. I mean, there's a lot of evidence about that. Plus, there was also a big stir recently in Canada when it was found out that many of these masks contained graphene. And actually, Health Canada pulled those masks off the market because they were saying that, well, graphene's really bad for you. It's like breathing asbestos. Now, one of the things that was reported in the mainstream media at that time is how many companies were selling graphene-laced masks. Because it certainly wasn't only this one company that alarmed Health Canada. And to make things even weirder, a few months later, Health Canada reversed itself and said, oh, breathe all the graphene you want. There's no problem. I mean,
you can't
step up. Yep.
And, you know, you got to think about this, too. In the height of the pandemic, in the spring of 2020, everybody's putting boxes of face masks on their shelves, and they're in all the gas stations and drugstores and supermarkets. You can go and buy 50 or 100 masks in a box made in China, and it says right on the box, it's not like coronavirus. And everybody went and got the masks, and everybody wore them anyway, because Dr. Fauci and the pandemic task force told everybody that that's what you have to do, and they did it. I didn't understand, like, what, and you wonder why in 1938, when World War II was going on and the Nazis were storming across Germany and rounding up the Jewish people, how it could happen. And we're watching it happen right now, how people are just so, just blind. They got the blinders on, and they don't even want to hear the truth. Like, you can have it, facts and numbers and proof, and they don't want to hear it because they heard it on Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes told me, or you know, Rachel Maddow, after she failed with the tax returns, told me that this is true. And they believe it. They do no research. They do no digging. Obviously, you've done tons of research and digging. What was one of the most profound things you found during your research on this book that led you to believe that this has been a few decades in the making?
Well, as you may know, if you've got deeper into the book, I start talking about domestic delivery systems for a pandemic agent. And this is very, very disturbing. I believe that the documentation provided in the book is irrefutable, that we now have these domestic delivery systems. Now, why in the world would a free country, a republic, or a democracy, or whatever you want to call it, right, why would they set up a selective delivery system in order to attack their own citizens? Something is going on here. Something is going on. Yeah. And people need to become aware that, yes, vaccines are an issue. They're certainly not the only issue. And if you look at this pandemic delivery system, you should have no doubt that something very, very wicked is going on.
I wonder how connected to it. You go outside any given day. Now, under President Trump, I barely seen it, but now it's back in full force, and it was really big under the Obama administration. You walk outside and look up into your clear blue sky on any day, and you see 1,000 chemtrails, as they say, or geoengineering occurring through the skies. I wonder if this has anything to do with pandemic delivery or, you know, biological warfare testing. You know, what they're flying planes at 30,000 feet, spraying aerosols out of planes over the planet. Maybe they're already poisoning us.
It's a grave concern.
You know, and President Trump, all right, a lot of people, they like him, they don't like him. I'm on his side. I kind of think that I felt that we were at peace, that I was making money, and that my taxes were low. It didn't cost that much to put gas in my car. I can go down to the grocery store on a Friday with $50 and buy the whole weekend's worth of groceries, a couple of hamburgers, some breakfast items, you know, and eat all weekend for $50. And now it's like, holy moly. Do you believe that this was all – sometimes I feel like they have a playbook and they're following a playbook. Do you think this pandemic is laid out in a manual somewhere and they're following a protocol? Because it really seems like it.
I think that there are indications that this is so. Now, that's going to get me labeled as a conspiracy theorist, and frankly – I don't like to deal so much with theories. I like to deal with facts.
Facts, yes.
But the accrued evidence is that this was planned a long time ago, and it is now coming to fruition, and we should be as vigilant as we can at this point in time.
Right. I just had a good question cross my mind, and then it left my mind. Dang it, I hate when that happens.
No, I do. I hate it.
and the older I get, the more it happens. You know, it's just the way it is, I guess. Senility slowly creeps in, and one day you don't remember where you are. I don't know. There's so many questions that come
out. I want to mention something. I'd like to mention something, because there's a lot of evidence that there's a lot of herbs and vitamins that people can take to reinforce their memory, because this does seem to be happening to people more than it used to. And I think we all need to keep ourselves as well and as functional as possible during these dark times. So there really are some herbs that will help. And I encourage people, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not giving like medical advice on a show, but I would really like to encourage people to do some research about turmeric, about yerba del sapo, about Siberian ginseng and that kind of stuff.
Right. Ginkgo biloba. That's one that I always heard. So here we are. We're in the throes of this pandemic. And it seems to be like they told us 15 days to flatten the curve to now you got to get a vaccine, you got to wear a mask wherever you go. Did they see slowly that they control the population like this? Or was, like you said, it was planned. Oh, that's my question. How tied to Agenda 21 and Agenda 30 is the pandemic?
People say that it certainly is. I'm not an expert on these agendas. I tried to, you know, steer clear of, like I said, conspiracy theories and focus on the facts. The facts are, you know, that the U.S. started tweaking their domestic laws about bioweapons decades ago. And the fact is that the U.S. set up a covert pandemic delivery system decades ago. So, you know, this other stuff, I'm not the best person to ask about it.
And during the section of the book labeled the pandemic, you kind of go over the future may contain a triangulation of attacks. In what way do you believe a triangulation of attacks will occur? Will that be in the country or will that be globally?
I believe we have a global problem going on. Certainly, if we look at the cooperation that multiple countries are collusion, that multiple countries are engaged in concerning the official narrative about COVID, I think we could assume that that this triangulation of attacks could very well happen in many countries. What I discuss in that particular chapter is the potential of not only vaccines as a vector for further disease, and not only vaccines, also this pandemic delivery system through the water, also what we're calling imposter pharmaceuticals, which I actually have in my possession. I'm trying to work with somebody now in the States to get these analyzed so that we can conclusively say, yeah, they're selling death drugs to people, okay? We know that the old USSR had a stash of these sorts of things, and they would hand them out to, you know, problematic people. We also became aware some time ago that the CIA was developing a stash. But now we have them floating around pharmacies. I do believe that there are a number of people in nursing homes who were exited off the planet with imposter pharmaceuticals. So I've been trying very hard to get a lab to test these because my say-so, frankly, doesn't mean anything. So so far, I've had labs like screaming from me. They don't want to test this. They don't want anything to do with this. I am working with somebody in the States now who has quite a bit more juice and who may be able to help facilitate getting these tested because, you know, you go to the pharmacy, maybe you're a person of interest, maybe you're a talk show host, maybe you're mouthy. I mean, what indeed are the parameters here? And you're trying to pick up your, you know, your ivermectin or your antibiotic or something and you get a death drug. No, this is more evidence of an absolute toppling of any sorts of legal rights, legal protections that we expect in a republic.
And I wonder how on earth they got so many people to go along with their scheme, or have they all been duped too to think that they're going to get something in the end for going along with the get along with and just to get along with everything? What's the plan? What's going on there?
You know, that's a very good question. Because we saw the same thing, as you brought up, we saw the same thing in Nazi Germany. Everybody's just keeping their head down and going along. And, you know, yeah, they're killing Jews. And it's like, nobody wants to talk about it. And we're seeing a similar kind of reluctance to voice or engage in any sense of outrage from so many sectors now. And they're really, somebody posited to me that this was like a mass hypnosis, right? Well, really, I don't know what it is, but I mean, these things are just wrong. And
I've read like the Nuremberg Codes. And this vaccine violates, and the way they're doing this vaccine violates almost all of them. It's pretty pretty astonishing that the country that eradicated the Nazis from Germany and saved the Jews from this kind of stuff, had trials, wrote the Nuremberg Codes, and now are violating them like they violate the Biological Weapons Convention terms as well. It's astonishing to watch.
It is astonishing. And there were a lot of blips that could have alerted us that this was going on. I'd like to mention a book by Department of Justice, a former prosecutor named John Loftus, who wrote a book. It was published in the 90s. It was a national bestseller. It was called The Secret War Against the Jews. And it essentially showed how the U.S. was actively sabotaging the State of Israel even before it started. It's a very well-documented book, and it provides a different sense of history than what we're, you know, what we've been told. So I would really encourage people to read that book as well, because we've had some nasty people in power doing nasty things for far longer than I think we realize.
At least 1963 and the shooting of JFK.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was that, to me, when I look back on all the things, I believe that was when things really started to change. That's when people said, oh my goodness, you don't talk politics or religion with your friends and family, never at the dinner table, oh my goodness. And I believe in my heart that if we continued to talk about these things over the last 50 years instead of putting them to the side and not talking to them with family and friends, I don't think we'd be in this mess we're in right now, because people would remember freedom, liberty, and the American way of life.
Well, you know, look at it this way. We've got a really amazing planet here. It's like full of resources. It's beautiful. It's actually a rich planet. And it seems to me that we have a group of people who want all the goodies for themselves. And frankly, people like you and me, we're like in the way. That's what I think.
And you know what happens to people that are in the way? Eventually they're not in the way anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't pray that for us. But, you know, our forefathers gave up their land and fortunes and their lives to give us this great nation. So sometimes we got to make sacrifices. Many people making sacrifices right now, including Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. You may have seen his story. He spoke out about the tragedy that took place in Afghanistan and the incompetence of the leaders and said, listen, these guys need to be held accountable for the mistakes they made. And they threw him in the brig. He's in jail. And his mom and dad are going to join us.
Really?
And his mom and dad are going to join us
on this program
next Thursday, 8 p.m.
Well, so thank you for letting me know. I'll definitely listen to that.
I'll keep you in the loop. I will send you the link.
Thank you.
That's going to be that next Thursday. That's going to be good stuff right there. That's another tragedy. You know, I extensively covered the tragedy in Benghazi. To me, was just sickening. We lost four guys. Now we got a situation in Afghanistan. We lost 13. What the heck? And there's no, like, that to me is enough to impeach this president for his incompetence and just leaving people behind. Oh, my God. And they scream and yell at you and me to get this vaccine and wear this mask. And then they got this invasion at the southern border, and no one's getting vaccinated. No one has to wear masks, and they're just letting them out into the country during a pandemic. It makes no sense. Why would they be doing that? Do you think?
I didn't quite catch that about people being let out without masks. I'm sorry. Would you repeat that, please?
Yeah, I was talking quickly about the southern border, how they are in the middle of a pandemic, allowing thousands and thousands and thousands of people, untested, unvaccinated, no mask, freely into the country to go wherever they want. Is this part of the pandemic delivery system? Are they using humans to deliver this throughout the country? Is that part of it?
I wasn't so aware of that. I'll have to look into it, and thanks for bringing it to my attention.
That's an aspect to look at, as it is the human being used as part of this pandemic delivery system to bring down the greatest country ever to be on the face of this planet, the shining city on a hill, is being brought down by a pandemic delivery system that includes humans. It makes a lot of sense. Because why you would think that they would be, okay, you want to come in, you got to get this vaccine, and here's a box of masks, wear these until the vaccine kicks in, you got 2 weeks. You know, but they're not even doing that. And that didn't come up in any of your research using humans as part of the pandemic delivery system. That would be something to look into for decades of U.S. duplicity part two. You know?
Absolutely is. Thank you. Thanks for the tip.
Hey, it's the least I could do, you know? We're in this together. Yeah. So what's next for the United States of America during this pandemic? How can we get any justice against this horrible injustice that's been done to the whole planet? Where do we go from here? Where do we turn?
Well, you know, I strongly believe that the book I've written has a particular weight. And I believe that one of the aspects that has quite a bit of weight is the disclosure of this pandemic delivery system. And I think that once people wrap their heads around that and begin to see that wait a second, this doesn't factor in to a naturally occurring pandemic, I think it might begin, some light bulbs might begin to go off in people's heads, because among everything else that we're experiencing, we're experiencing an information war. And if people understand that this has been planned for decades, we have proof, and furthermore...
Uh-oh.
It's very possible that the narrative might begin to start falling apart.
We could hope, right? And I think it takes people like us to continue to speak out. I drive people crazy sometimes because I never shut up, but that's why I do a radio show, so that I can speak about these things and get it out to as many people as I can, instead of driving everybody crazy and bending their ear all the time and hollering about politics and what's going on and the vaccine and what you can do and alternate treatments and this and that and the other thing. Sometimes it gets exhausting. So tell folks again where they can find the book. In case they want to get a copy, I would suggest getting a copy, folks. It covers a lot of ground, and we can't cover that much ground in an hour. So you want to get this book and read it from cover to cover. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Again, the book is called At the Breaking Point of History, How Decades of U.S. Duplicity Enabled the Pandemic. It's available from the publisher, which is Trine Day. And I want to thank Trine Day for their willingness to publish this. And you can also find it on Amazon. And in the meantime, I write for Activist Post, so you can visit Activist Post and check out my articles there.
Is that .com?
Yeah, activistpost.com, correct.
That's awesome. I think it's a really great book, and I'm going to keep thumbing through it and read it and make sure I get all the good details that I need to know of how they're using decades of duplicity to create this massive juggernaut of vaccines and mask mandates and stifling of American freedom. It's really unbelievable what we're witnessing. If you would have told me.
It is absolutely unbelievable. And thank you so much for your help and getting the word out, and for your support with this.
Absolutely. And stick around. Don't leave yet if you got time, because I'm going to play a couple of really cool songs. My father-in-law actually sent me this song, and it's by Aaron Lewis. So what's going to usually happen is when you play music over the air, and if you're not licensed and all this stuff, they try to give you this warning. So I do not own the rights to this song. This is Aaron Lewis. He's in a band called Stain, and he wrote this song. It's called Am I the Only One? So I'm going to play that song because I think it's fitting. I'm actually going to try to reach out to Aaron because he seems like he's a very patriotic person. I'd like to get him on the show. I had Larry Gatlin on the show. That was my big highlight for musicians, Larry Gatlin. But this is a song by Aaron Lewis. It's called Am I the Only One on Patriot Nation Radio. And then we'll be back with the Star Spangled Banner.
Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Or am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it back? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed? To take a bullet for being free? Screaming what the fuck is my TV? Telling me, yeah, are you telling me? That I'm the only one willing to fight? Oh, my love. Burning on the ground, and notice that you're coming down in the town. Watching the threads of old glory come undone. Am I the only one not brainwashed? Making my way through the land of the lost. Still gives a shit and worries about his kid. As they try to undo all the things he did, am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a fucking door. The saints of freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more. Yeah, it was something more. Am I the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white? In the blue, burning on the ground, another statue coming down in a town near you. Watching the threads of glory come on down. I'll be on the one.
Hey, Lewis, am I the only one that's out now? You can check it out. It's making some noise. It's only got 2,762,729 views and was posted 2 months ago, so it's doing pretty good. That's a really cool song. Am I the only one? Aaron Lewis, you might remember him from the band Stained. Check it out now, Funk Soul Brother. So they're passing this bill, you know, this spending bill. And they're getting ready to do a radical change to the retirement system. And I'm going to be quoting from an article from Forbes magazine. Hidden in the reconciliation bill, a retirement plan mandate that will take most people by surprise, by Elizabeth Bauer, senior contributor, who writes about retirement. And it's part of the Build Back Better budget reconciliation bill. Under this proposal, starting in 2023, employers, your boss, if he's got five or more people that work for him, they're going to be mandated to make a retirement plan, automatically enroll employees, and divert 6% of their pay to a retirement account that will increase to 10% of pay after the fifth year. And it would be a Roth IRA invested in a target date fund and a mix of investments based on your expected retirement year. So they're going to mandate. Think about this. A guy has 10 people working for him, and now he has to open up a plan and do 6% of the employee's income into a retirement. What's it going to do for small business? They're really trying to stock it to these businesses. Some employers already offer 401ks or similar plans. Nothing's really going to change. This one is targeted at smaller employers who don't offer any retirement plans. Now, I understand they want people to offer retirement plans. You know, when my father's generation before me, they had unions, they had pensions, they had, you know, savings, they had things. My father, you know, he retired at 59 with a pension, but he was able to live. With his pension and Social Security, he made it. He lived to be 86 years old. God bless him. He retired at 59, lived to 86. It's 35 plus years of retirement bliss. We don't got that anymore. But they're trying to force small business to have a retirement plan. And a crucial difference we'll talk about here in a minute, but it'll be similar to an auto enrollment plan that's now in operation in other states like California, Oregon, Illinois, and elsewhere. They have already plans that at state levels that are 5% and increase to 10%, but they have opt-outs for employees. They don't have to contribute, that the employer has to contribute. And under the mandate, employers would be obliged to select a specific IRA in which to enroll their employees. So you wouldn't really have a choice. It's going to be set up. They're going to have a specific one. So you won't, like, for me, in my retirement plan, my 401k that I got at my job, I got this big fat book. I looked through this big fat book, and I picked certain fund options that I could take, and mine's doing really good. It returned 18% this year. Holy moly, I can't believe it. But I'm expecting it to crash with this kind of stuff, with these reconciliation bills and the quote-unquote infrastructure bill. That is a crock of crap. We all know it's a crock of crap. And they're just trying to screw this country in any way they can. It's just unbelievable. So they want to force small business into making retirement plans for their employees. The federal mandate applies to all employees with five or more employees from day one, and it appears to be no analysis of how it would be for these small employers to do so. And the third program requires employers must choose not just any IRA, but only those in which there is an option to convert the account balance into an annuity at retirement, which that part's not bad, the annuity part. And it continues to be the case that workers are being nudged into the 10% of pay contributions without any useful guidance as to what the right savings level is for their personal circumstance. So given this progressive level of Social Security benefits, which replace a far greater percentage of pay for lower earners than middle or upper earners, there is no one-size-fits-all answer at all. and indeed some low earners may be better off with no savings. There is also very little info on what happens when paycheck-to-paycheck workers like myself are placed into programs like this and really can't afford to have 10% taken out of their paycheck. If they all of a sudden force me to take 10% out of my paycheck right now, I'd be hurting. I'm hurting already. And the way that they're going to make these people comply is it'll be $10 a day per employee fine for failing to comply with the requirements. So if they have 10 employees, then it's $10 per person a day, and that's every day they're going to get fined until they comply. So what happens if you have 98 or, you know, picture that, you know, times $10 a day per employee, 98 people, all that money, and, you know, so they're just trying to get our money. They want us broke. They want us destitute. They want us on our ass struggling. The same we reach our palm out for government help, and it's part of their push towards this socialist utopia that they picture in their mind. I don't understand what they think. Maybe they think because we're the greatest country in the world that we can do socialism and have, you know, unicorns and rainbows on every street corner and you know, free this and free that and free everything. What are you going to do? Call China? We're extending our debt beyond unbelievable levels. We're running out of money, folks, in this country. And the Federal Reserve recently printed like $3 trillion. They're just printing money with nothing to back it and putting it out into the system. So every time they print $3 trillion, $3 billion, whatever it is, a lot, and they put it out into the economy, that lessens the value of the dollar. Because the more dollar bills there are, the less gold there is to back it. And China got the gold, folks. Fort Knox has one room, so when they say, can we go see Fort Knox? We go down into one vault, one part of the vault in Fort Knox, it's got gold. The rest of it's empty. You don't have gold. They gave it all to China. They just don't let you know that. If you dig and you look and you research, you can find it. As done I, a long time ago. When the first inclination to me was when the Germans wanted to audit the Fed. And they said, we're going to come over there. We want to see our gold. Oh, yep, we got it here in New York City in the vault. Come on down. And miraculously, the day the Germans are scheduled to go down into the vault to see their gold, there's a fire. Oh, no. Sorry, the fire, we can't bring you down there now. Go home, and what we'll do is we'll just, you know, we'll send you so much gold per year for the next 7 years till you have it all. Okay, how's that? Oh, and then Germany goes, okay. So that's even less gold we have in this country. It's the scary times we're living in, folks. It's dark times, and it's unbelievable what we're seeing, witnessing, and being part of. And we have to keep fighting because I have a 10-year-old son, and I don't want to have him look me in the eye when maybe I'm on my deathbed and we're reminiscing about the old days, and my son says, so what did you do to help preserve freedom? At least I'll have an answer. I fought all the time. I made phone calls. I did emails. I went to rallies. I do this radio show religiously now for 9 years, coming up on 9 years. Unbelievable. It's really insane. But we got to keep fighting. We got to be able to look that kid in the eye when he asked that question and say, I did everything I could to make sure you have freedom. And if I'm sorry, hopefully I don't have to say I'm sorry, but I failed you. We failed you. I don't want it to be that. I want it to be, what did you do to preserve our freedom? I stood up every day. I talked. I spoke. I fought. I hollered at the top of my lungs. People called me a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy nut. And then I checked my conspiracy list off one by one, and they all go, God, he said that. It took 4 years for it to come to fruition, but here it is. He said that 4 years ago, and it's true. And my tinfoil hat gets crumpled up more, and soon it's going to fall off because they're going to be every theory is going to come true. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the conspiracy theories, you notice they all come true one by one by one. So on top of that, with the retirement, 6%, bumping up to 10%. Got 8 to 10 cents per mile proposed driving tax. Now, one thing that I found out about this driving tax is initially it's going to be a pilot program, and the pilot program is going to be such that they're going to ask people to volunteer for a short period of time. They're going to test to see how it works, and then they're going to ask the people that did it what they thought about being taxed and charged, and how did, you know, whatever the case may be. It's going to be a pilot program, volunteer to help, you know, oh, and they're going to put that money towards infrastructure. Why would they need that more money? Why would they have to do that when they want, they're asking for $3.6 or $3.9 trillion for infrastructure? They can't fix the roads, the bridges, and the electrical grid with $9 trillion, not million, not billion, $1 trillion. Talking trillions. It's not enough. They got to tax every mile we drive, 8 to 10 cents a mile. Adding another tax of over $1,200 to the American people's, plight. Folks, we're in deep stuff here. You don't stand up and fight. Stand up and shout. Scream at the top of your lungs. Do something. Cry out loud. Send an email. Sign a petition. Vote. Even though the system is out of whack, that we don't let that make us stay home. Now we need us in the polls more than ever. Because of the crookedness, conservative, liberty-minded Americans need to make sure they vote. And make sure their vote counts. They're going to steal every election from here on out. It worked once, it's going to work always. Unless other states like Georgia enact Jim Crow voting laws, as Biden calls it, coming from a state that has more restrictive voting laws than Georgia. He doesn't say nothing about the people of Georgia. I mean, of Delaware, where he's from. No, it's the Jim Crow Georgia law. Give me a break. Asking for ID and making sure you're a citizen is bad? No. And the fact that anybody goes along with this is bananas. They're out of their cotton-picking mind. Insanity is running rampant in this country, and people are just, Trump derangement syndrome has morphed into the unvaccinated are killing us, and we need to quarantine everybody. Stay indoors. Put on a mask. It's unbelievable. Florida is now, during the last reporting cycle, the third state that has the less deaths in the nation and less cases. It's going down. We shed the masks. We threw the masks away. We got rid of vaccine passports. Nobody's forced. Everybody's living. And Florida's booming. We're booming in the Sunshine State. Everybody's working. Everybody's living. We have minor crap down here. We have equity in education and forced mask mandates. And schools are going against the governor's executive order, and they're going to court, and they're fighting. It has become apparent that getting sick, best vaccination you could get against corona. It's a disease with a 99.764 survival rate under the age of 70. More, and not only that, but more children die of the flu every year than will die of COVID at this present time. Of course, until they manipulate a variant that attacks children. And we know these sick, twisted individuals have no problem killing anybody, even children. So expect one of these variants to be deadly to children, because they would get control of the future. Get control of the country. Scare the pants off the next generation, make them so scared, so fearful. That's why I believe in the Lord, and I bring my son to church, and we go and get Bible study, and we learn about this stuff, so we don't live in fear. And we just wait for God's plan to unfold for us. And if that includes dying of COVID-19, then God bless me. I voted 6 feet under or whatever, into an urn, into the furnace, whatever. knowing that God's plan was what God's plan was, and now I meet my maker. I don't want to die. Who wants to die? Nobody wants to die. You know, I mean, eventually we want to die because our faith tells us that we get to meet Jesus. So dying ain't so horrible, folks, you know, because what you're going to get is much more valuable than what you leave behind when you die. Yes, our wives and kids and our families, the most, there's no value on that. But meeting Jesus is and living in heaven is eternal. This little life here on earth is short. So I'll say I die tomorrow. I'm 54 years old. I'm dead. Well, guess what? My son's 10. In 64 years, he'll be a blink of an eye in time. He'll be right there with me. I don't want to die, but if COVID takes me, it's God's plan. Follow God's plan and listen. Don't get vaccinated. You're defiling yourself. It's changing the amazing DNA God created to make you in the first place. This vaccine is not approved. I hear on the radio all the time in here in Florida, Pfizer has an FDA-approved vaccine. So if you've been waiting for an FDA-approved vaccine, now's the time to go get vaccinated. And it's bullcrap because the vaccine that got FDA-approved apparently isn't being released until January 2023, so they're misleading you with ads on radio stations. What is this big push for the vaccine? What's the payoff? Why are they pushing so hard to get everybody vaccinated? Enough of that. So next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, we have the parents of political prisoner and man asking for the accountability of our leader, military leaders, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. Well, his parents are going to join us next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. 8 p.m. Eastern. We're running over today because James didn't have a show. He's scheduling 90 minutes, and I almost made it. But I'm running out of steam. I'm running out of time. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I get up at 4:30 every morning, and it's already past my bedtime. So you don't want to miss this episode next week, 8 p.m., right after Conservative Perspective, 7 p.m. with James Bostic, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We don't want to forget the American Allegiance show with Kevin White. He is an author of the book Growing Up White. And he does a show Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Be sure to catch any one of these shows. And, of course, A Conservative's Perspective on Tuesdays, 7 p.m. also. That's Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. and Wednesdays, 7 p.m. with Kevin White and American Allegiance. Be sure to check these shows out at your earliest convenience. You don't want to miss it. And so with that, I want to ask everybody to join me as we rise for the national anthem, because at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise for the flag and we kneel at the cross. God bless America. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. This is the Star Spangled Banner, performed by our good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Dig this. Good night and God bless you. Oh, say, can thanks, and God bless America.